Praise God. No, this is our, we explained last week, we fast in January, in February we cast vision, and so we're talking about vision. Amen? All the month of February. Listen, when we talk about the church, we're talking about us. Not just Pastor Ed and I or the building, but you're the church. Amen? We're the church together. I want to pray over the word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for direction this morning. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for great things that you're doing in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, this is week two of living. We're going to talk about the Living Word Foundation and continue to talk about that because I shared the story last week about how Living Word Foundation was birthed, amen, how it was birthed in prayer, and without it, we would not be here today, amen, and with just many of you have come in since we came to Norwell, but all of us that came over from Brockton, they were a part of Living Word Foundation, and because of their pledges, because of their giving, we were able to move over here into this beautiful place. And I tell you what, we believe that God is doing amazing things. And this year is going to be the best year ever. Will you believe that with us? And for you too. Because we believe that you have a heart for the church. And I want to start and read a scripture in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. And I guess they'll put them up behind me or something. Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But where there is no vision, I want to bring out a couple of translations here. It says a couple of different translations. You can look this up in the Amplified and New Living Translation. It says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained and they're loose. Do you know what that means? Where there's no vision, where there's no revelation, where there's no future, where you're seeing something, where you have a vision for something, people are unrestrained, and you can see that. People are loose. People that are not committed, like maybe to a church or a vision, they're here, they're there. They're, you know, Ephesians talks about they're wavering in the word of God. They're children tossed to and fro. There's no vision. There's unrestrained. But where there's vision, see, the vision is we're doing a great work for God. Amen? Can you put our vision up there for just a moment? I want to read our vision because we are a supernatural church. We cannot have church without the supernatural on it. We cannot have church without the Holy Ghost. We cannot have church without hearing from heaven. Amen? And look at this. It says we are a supernatural church and we are reaching the world, making disciples, building strong families. Amen? That's what the marriage seminar is about. If the marriage isn't strong, then the families can't be strong. Amen? And I'll tell you what, if you haven't been to our marriage seminar, marriage getaway, we have a blast. We're right on the water there in Newport. We got hotels for a great price, and you got to get your reservations in early because they're calling us. They want to give our rooms away because they sell those rooms for a lot of money, and we got a great deal. Amen? But we get together as couples, and we bond, and we enjoy ourselves. We have workshops. We give you time alone with your spouse. It is wonderful. So if you do anything, at least get your reservation in. That won't cost you anything. You can cancel up to 24 days in advance. But anyhow, that's about building strong families. But that's what it's all about, reaching the world. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the first here, about reaching the world. We're actually going to touch that. We're going to touch on making disciples. But I want you to look at Mark chapter 2. I know this is a little bit different, but there's a certain scripture. But I have to read the whole portion to get to that scripture because I loved it. And I just felt like it jumped off the page on me. Mark chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 1, and I'm going to read through these quick, okay? It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Remember, there was no room in the place, and there was no room outside. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, verse 8, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, see, Jesus always knows what we're thinking in our hearts. Amen? And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Verse 12, it says, he got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. Can you imagine that happening here? That would be so exciting. The next part says, this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, look at this next statement, "We have never seen anything like this." We have never seen anything like this. How many can believe that we can be a church in the heart of the city where people will walk in and they will be amazed and they will walk away saying, "We have never seen a church like this. We have never seen anything like this. We see the broken hearts healed. We see miracles. We see signs and wonders. We see God when we walk in there." And that's what we want. We want people to see God. We're just vessels in the kingdom of God. We're instruments. But wouldn't it be great when people walked away saying what they did? We have never seen anything like this. And I believe that we have not seen anything like we're going to see in these last days. Amen? I believe God's word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Miracles have not passed away. Amen? Signs and wonders have not passed away. Hallelujah. And so we're gonna talk today. You know, I was thinking about this when those four guys were lifting up that paralytic and bringing him through the roof. You know what that was? That was a miracle in motion. And I believe that we are a miracle in motion. I believe this church, just the fact that we're here right now, in the way everything happened, we're a miracle in motion, and God's doing things, and he's setting us up for many souls to come in and to see the God that we know, to love the God that we know, to see Jesus. Amen? Let's look at John 4:35. Say amazing. I already hear people say, "I've never seen a church like this." Number one, I've never seen a church that looks like this, or I've never seen the worship like this, or I've never heard it preached like this. And I'll tell you what, the one thing that we love around here, we love the Word of God. If you've heard Pastor Ed preach, you've heard me preach, Pastor Mike, all of us, we preach the Word of God. We don't want to just preach a good, nice message or a message of success, but we want to preach the Word of God. But the first part of our vision, reaching the lost, let's look at John 4:35. It says, "Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe on the harvest." You know what? We need to open our eyes. It's time to lift up our eyes. It's time to look at the world and see they are ripe. You know, sometimes we look at the world, oh, they're hard, oh, they don't want to hear. But if you knew that they were ripe for the harvest, you would be telling them about Jesus. And Jesus said it way back then, they're ripe for the harvest. I want to talk about the church in the book of Acts, the New Testament church. And you know, in that church, in the book of Acts church, sharing the gospel was the thing that drove their life. It was not compartmentalized. It was every day. When they got up, it consumed them, whatever they were doing. That was actually the most important thing in their life, was to reach the lost, to find ways to touch people's lives, to tell them about Jesus, to bring the good news. And so When you look at that early church, it was exploding because it meant everything. It wasn't just a compartment. It wasn't just a side thing. They wanted people to have what they had. They wanted people to go into an eternity with God. They had a revelation of heaven and hell and salvation. Amen? And many people, you know, today, they talk about how bad the world is today. But you know, they talk about the culture and how hard it is to tell about Jesus. But back then, it was the Roman Empire. These Christians were oppressed. They were thrown in jail. If you said you were a Christian, you were putting a death sentence on yourself. You know, and a lot about the Babylonian Empire, even back then, is like what we're like in today. It's like we're like in today. But God hasn't changed his mind. He still wants us to reach the lost. Amen? He still wants us to reach the lost. Could you put that, the five-generation slide that I gave to you? There are five generations living on the earth today. And we're going to talk in a minute about reaching the youth and the children, but you know what? It's especially here in New England, there are so many generations above us that have not heard the gospel. They have not received Jesus. But I want you to look at this, the five generations. Do they have that ready? I'm just going to go ahead and read it, and they'll get it up. Five generations. There's what they call the I generation, Generation Z. And they were born from 1996 and later. How many of you here were born after 1996 or 1996? We got one in here. But we have quite a few, actually. They're just not in here right now. Oh, yeah, there they are. They're all raising their hands. They're all working back there. And we got the slide up. Okay. Then we have the millennial, or the Generation Y, born 1977 to 1995. How many are born in that area? Look, there's a second generation. Then we have Generation X, born 65 to 76. Who's born in that generation? Then you've got the baby boomers born in 1946 to 64. How many of those? Yeah, I think we rule in here today. And then there's the traditionalists, 1945. Anybody in here this morning born 1945 or before? We do have some of those in our church as well. But there are five generations of people on the earth today, and God has called you and I to bring the gospel to them. Amen? God has called you and I to reach the lost. He said, look up, every generation. They are white. They are ripe for harvest. They're ready. So I don't care where you are, whether you're walking in a restaurant or go where the young people go or the elderly go. There's people, and they're ready, and they're just waiting to hear from us. Amen? So I want to talk about... I want to go through a few slides this morning in just a minute here. Because when you start reaching out to people, you better have some place to bring them. That's what Living Word Foundation is all about. That's why we have this building, because of what you did to make this happen. Because you can't, you know, in the book of Acts, they were house to house every day. They were together, and that's why they grew, and that's why they spread. And they said, not only house to house, but they said, and in the temple. We have to have a place where we're going to bring people. We have to have a place that speaks to them. You know, young people especially, I'm telling you, there's so many people that'll come just because of night of worship or because of our lights or because, and then they'll end up getting saved. They'll come. We've had outreaches where we've given backpacks away and had great programs put on, and people will come just because of the free giveaways, but they end up getting saved. I can't tell you one. It was about the last Harvest Bash we had in Brockton. We ran out of Bibles. We ran out of tracts and things that we were giving them. Everybody wanted one. Amen. And we had about what? We had about 800 at that. At that harvest bag, it was just crazy. And so we have to, number one, be selfish and be concentrated on reaching those that don't know Jesus. Come on now. That's what the church's number one thing. I want to start with go through some things like with children. We're going to show you what Living Word Foundation, what we want to do this year and what Living Word Foundation will cover. Now, this is, Living Word Foundation is above our tithe and offerings. There's no way our tithe and offerings would have gotten us into this building. It was the Living Word Foundation that got us in here. But I want to show you something. We talked about this last week, and I want to show you what we want to do in our children's ministry, in our nursery. Can we go ahead and put those up? We're going to start going through those. There they are. Okay. This is Children's Church, and we want to make it, when people and families come in, we want to make it the most awesome children's ministry, the most awesome design, everything about it, that kids will beg their parents to come back. They'll beg them. And, you know, we've had people come to this church. We've had families come that maybe they didn't get saved the first week or the second week, but they ended up getting saved in their families because of they liked what was going on here. They brought their families. And so that's the children's church and nursery. And I brought out these statistics last week that between the ages of 4 and 14, 85% of people receive Jesus for the first time. It's harder to reach them as they get older, 10% from age 15 to 30. Age 30 plus is 4% and so forth. But we've got to reach them when they're children. Amen? And so we're creating an atmosphere in our children's ministry where they're going to hear about Jesus. It's going to be a fun place. They're not going to tell their parents, I don't want to go in there. It's boring in there. I don't like it in there. You know, they're going to want to be there. The next one is the youth. Look at what we want to do with the youth. We want to build something so awesome for our youth ministry. You know what? Let me just talk about Daniel for a minute. And I just learned this. Do you know Daniel was only 14 years old when he was brought from Israel over to Babylon? And what happened is the King Nebuchadnezzar went into the northern and the southern kingdom of Israel, and they kidnapped like 3,000 of the like smartest kids, and the idea was to bring them back over to Babylon and to indoctrinate them and to feed them their food and to get them to learn their ways so that they could do away with the whole Jewish nation and the whole Jewish culture. And that's just a short, you know, it's not, you can go and study it out. But this is the thing. Daniel wouldn't have anything of it at 14 years old. And I was thinking about our youth. We have got to have something so attractive that we bring in the kids from the world. We need to bring the teenagers from the world. We want to go out and reach every single teenager and bring them in. We're not just looking for saved teenagers. We're looking for the unsaved so that we can bring them in. But you know what? Daniel, at 14 years old, and I started to think, this is what we want to see with our youth. In that culture, Daniel was able to stand up against the king. Daniel was able to say, no, I don't want to eat that kind of food. That's how the Daniel fast came. Daniel was able to say, no, I'm not going to bow down to that God. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all teenagers. David was a teenager when he slew Goliath. Let me ask this. How many teenagers you know in the culture today would be able to stand up like Daniel and say, no, we're not going to bow down to those other gods. No, we're not going to do this, but that's why we want to get them in here so that we can, the second tier of our vision is to make disciples. Amen? We're not just trying to have this great concert-like atmosphere for kids. We're trying to get them in here so that we can train them in the kingdom of God so they can reach their world. Amen? And you better have something good. They're just not going to come and just, you know, just sit and listen to a good message, or we might think it's good, but they may not think it's very good. So we have to have a creative atmosphere. We have to be putting things out there to reach our, you know, how many 17-year-olds do you know that would go and stand like David before Goliath and know the word of God? This day the Lord has given you into my hand. Who are you, you uncircumcised? How many teenagers do you know would be able to do that? That's what we want to do. We want to make our teenagers strong, but you know what? You got to do something to bring them in. Have something for them. Have something to attract them. Amen. And so we want to reach our teenagers, and we have so many amazing plans. And the word that came to me, and I forgot to put it down on the top of my notes, but is we need to be intentional about this. Intentional about building the most awesome youth center, the most awesome children's ministry. And then let's just go through some of the other thing, the pictures that we have. We want to have the most awesome sanctuary design. We're just getting started, folks. Amen. Because when people come in, we want them to leave and say, it is amazing in there. We want them to go tell their families and say, this is amazing what they're doing. You know what? To glorify God, not to glorify us. Listen, we've been here long enough. If we wanted to be glorified, we would have been out of here a long time ago. Pastor said, I'm 65. I don't understand this. How did I get here? You know what I'm saying? But we want to have an amazing sanctuary. And how many of you enjoyed when we got the screen up? And it's not really at its full potential yet. Did you? Were you not excited? I got so many compliments on Facebook. People say, I want to go to that church. Amen? And we're not in competition with anybody else. We're not. We're just building something that will bring glory to God. Amen. God placed us here in Norwell, and we're touching Rockland and Hanover and Scituate and Hingham and Quincy. We are going to spread this gospel and see revival. They will go and say there's amazing things that are happening there. Here's we want to have awesome meeting rooms. Let's go on. We have a great foyer design. We want to create a foyer where we have informational tables, really nice stuff out there, places to sit. We got benches in mind, you know, soft benches where we can sit and fellowship. If you notice the young people, they never want to leave church. They're here all day on Sundays when we have Sunday night. And we love that. We want them to be here. Amen? And so, and even some of the adults, we want to create that atmosphere. And that's included with the cafe, I believe. Is that next? We're working on having the most awesome cafe design. So, because we want to create community. Amen? Because with this community, there's strength. And so all of these things that we're putting together is because when we go out and reach the world, we want to bring them back and make disciples. We want to bring them back to something amazing. We want them to be blessed when they walk in to this place. We want them to feel the presence of God when they walk through the doors. Amen? It's all about reaching souls, and you and I are called for such a time as this. I'm telling you, I believe that God is moving in such a mighty way. And so can we pass out these books? I want to talk to you about Living Word Foundation, because this will make everything I talk to you about possible. This makes it possible. Listen, it's not just about showing up at church. It's putting our heart, it's putting our effort, it's putting our finances. And I know a lot of people, we basically, vision is talked about at the beginning of the year, finances are talked about at the beginning of the year. Could you pass out one per family? And if they're single adults, you can give them one too, so. And we're gonna go through this. I just want you to go through this with me. Is that okay? And then Pastor Mike's going to come up for a minute. And are you catching where we're going with this? Why it's important to have a house of God, a place where we can touch people's lives and help them to grow. I'm going to start with page 3, where it says Living Word. And basically, I'm going to read this letter to you. It says, through the years, We have seen God do incredible things, and we have, and transform the lives of people in our city and in the surrounding communities. This year will be no different as we look forward into the future. Living Word Foundation, that book that you have in your hand, the Living Word Foundation, exists to facilitate Living Word's vision to reach the world, make disciples, and build strong families. Through the foundation, our kingdom people, centurions, and army of faithful believers all play a vital role in making an impact around us. And it is with excitement that we invite you to join us on this journey of transforming lives through Living Word Foundation this year. We can accomplish much more together than we could on our own. Together, we have the resources to bring hope to a hurting world and leave a legacy of change for the glory of God. How many of you want to leave a legacy for your kids? Amen. Our prayer is that each of us will find a place and purpose in the vision of Living Word. So we're going to the next page is the table of contents. The next page says, what is Living Word Foundation? And then we're going to turn it again. And page 8, it says, through Living Word Foundation, we are truly establishing one thing that cannot be destroyed, God's house. In Ephesians 4:16, we are encouraged by the truth that every joint supplies, meaning every single person has a part to play. God has called us as individuals to advance the kingdom of God, and we do this by building the local church. Living Word believes it is our responsibility to go out into the world and share the love of Jesus. We won't back down. We won't stay still. God has called us to be his hands and his feet. Through multiple programs, Living Word Foundation is active and alive in our own community and in the world. Living Word Foundation was designed with the influence of Living Word Church in mind. The goal of Living Word Foundation is for advancing the kingdom of God. The vision of Living Word Church is reaching the world, making disciples, and building strong families. And you're going to hear that over and over and over again. Living Word Foundation was created to make this vision a reality for every person who calls Living Word home. Hebrews 13:16 reminds us, do not forget to do good and to share with others. The heartbeat of Living Word through Living Word Foundation is to love and to think of others. Now, if you look at the right side of that book, it says who's needed, and it gives you the percentages, kingdom people, centurions, an army of faithful believers. There's three types of givers. We made it a way that anybody can give to this. You can give as little as $10 a month. What is it funding? 5% of it goes to the foundation operation. 11% goes to local and global outreach to reach the lost. In-house ministry is 11%. That's increasing staff, increasing in-house ministry so that we can take care of the people when they come in. And also phase two of our operation build out, 73% will be going towards our build out of our building. And that goes towards the things that we were showing you. If you look on the next page, it says, year one of the Living Word Foundation paved the way to our new facility in Norwell. It started in February, the foundation. We didn't know we were going to have to move until, I believe, March or April. But if we go on, it says, our married couple spent a weekend in Newport, Rhode Island, strengthening their love. On Easter, with over 300 plus in attendance, many people heard the good news of Jesus for the first time. And then in June, it was official. We're moving. It's an exciting time for everyone. And in August, we had our last Holy Fire in Brockton. In September, we started phase one, where we moved to our new location. We actually had to go to a couple of locations before we could get in here in October. In November, Thanksgiving meals, in a spirit of giving, we did our first thankful event. And at Christmas, we did our Wonder of Christmas. If you notice, all of our events, you know, that are that like Christmas and thankful, they're for the lost, to bring in the lost. Of course, the thankful event is even for Christians that don't have anywhere to go at Christmas time. If you go to the next page, it there's a few scriptures there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. And I'm just going to, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church here. I'm going to just start with verse 6. It says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. We want no one to feel compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. And now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Then you see on the right side, we went over these figures last week. This was last year's. This is what got us into this building. And believe me, that was real skimpy. We really did a lot with that money. The next page is our plan. And turn over to page 16. God's favor is on our strategy. We believe that God birthed this in prayer. And we believe through the proven strategy and God's continuous blessing that we will see living word empower more believers to effect change in their communities, touch more nations with the hope of the gospel, and reach more people with the life-changing love of Jesus. Now, next part's important. Our Living Word Foundation strategy is composed of three groups of extraordinary givers: the army of faithful believers, the centurions, and the kingdom people. A person enters one of these groups according to the amount they choose to faith pledge during the year, above their regular tithes and offerings. If you are not yet bringing the Lord his tithe and giving regular offerings, please begin. That is the most important. Listen, if you're not a tither yet, I encourage you, do that first. I encourage you, don't worry about Living Word Foundation, because you know what? That's your connection, your financial connection to God. That belongs to God. Amen? That is going to benefit you. So if you're not a tither, this wouldn't be good for you to just step into that, you know? Be faithful in your tithe and your offering. Giving to Living Word Foundation, the last paragraph, is a financial commitment over a 12-month over and above our tithe and offerings, okay? And then if you look at the next page, it talks about, and I'm going to have Pastor Mike come pretty quick, an army of faithful believers, 2018 goal. Our goal is to get 69 people that will give between $120 and $2,499 in 1 year. We had people last year, we had some people that gave $120. We had teenagers that gave $120. And then we had some people that gave, that became centurions and gave up to $7,500. And then we had some people that gave $10,000, and they were in the kingdom people. It was really awesome. And so we have the faithful believers, centurions, and kingdom people. And that's how we come to reaching our goal.